Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is January 19th, 2018, and I'm joined by two guests today. Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And our friend down in Hotlanta,
you can't,
not so hot right now, Nicole Thomas, Vice
you
President
can't see
of
my
McKinney
air
Flavelle.
Quotes right now, but Hotlanta, maybe a bit of an exaggeration.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome, guys.
Yeah.
Welcome. Today, we're going to talk about two things. Not sweetener today. We're going to talk about soybean and palm oil. And we're also going to talk about honey. But before that, I want to hear, Nicole and Craig, your picks for this weekend's NFL games. We've got the Patriots and the Jags. And we've got the Vikings and the Eagles. Nicole, what do you think? And I'm sorry about your Falcons.
Sorry about my Falcons, my Steelers. It's just been a bad season for me, apparently. So I'm going to go with the underdog and go with the Jags, which I'm going with the Jags.
You're going with the Jags, okay.
I wouldn't want to go with the Jags.
I think Craig's very adamant that he wants the Jags.
I want to see the Jags versus the Eagles because it'll be the Broyles versus Foles.
That's an interesting combination.
So what do you, quarterback.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Are you going to go with
Craig's
same
picks?
No, I'm going
with the Vikings. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Vikings?
Yes, I think they're going to surprise everybody this weekend.
Right. Well, then who's going to win the Super Bowl, Craig?
Fly, Eagles, fly. I think the Eagles are going to pull it out.
Okay. How about you,
do
Nicole?
Do you want what my heart wants to say or what will probably be the reality?
Well, that's the way you bet.
Well, no, it depends. It depends.
Well, Mike, what are you, Tom Brady going to play? I mean, is it?
I think Tom Brady's going to play. I think this story is completely fabricated.
Oh,
I think
Belichick
his hand is fine.
I agree.
I think it's just for drama.
Oh my God,
totally
Vegas
agree.
Is going to love you.
Yeah. So who's your pick, Nicole?
I hate to say it, but it might be another win for the Patriots. I'm rooting the other direction for sure, but. You know, sometimes you got to go with what you have seen through lots of years of agonizing experience. So,
well, as Craig and I have talked about in previous podcasts, it's hard to bet against the Pats.
Oh, so. Man, you really can't.
And being a Seahawks fan, that's really hard.
Yeah.
So run the ball.
Just run the ball.
Beast mode's in Oakland now, man.
Anyway. Well, let's go ahead and get started.
Let's do this.
Nicole, let's shift over to you and talk about soybean and palm oil. What's going on?
So beginning with the soy oil market, keep it pretty basic here, but for the most part, futures are at great levels right now for anybody that's keeping track of that. We've got the domestic biodiesel industry holding out, waiting for the renewal of the biodiesel blending credit. That could come any day now. And we're expecting that to lead to a ramp up in biodiesel production, as is the USDA, as far as their projection is concerned. So considering all that, soybean oil futures could move a lot higher than where they are today, making for some good coverage levels. And the same is the case for the crude soybean oil basis. Those are pretty firmly negative throughout the U.S. right now. So all in all, say a good time to take some coverage with the futures trading closer to 32 cents a pound. You really can't ask for more with this scenario.
So, Nicole. How far out would you be going? And second question is, how far out do you think users are?
I would go out a decent amount with these levels. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to taking coverage into the summer with the expectation that, you know, kind of a best case scenario, that market could rally a little closer to 34 cents a pound, with many thinking it could go higher than that. So considering that, I would definitely look out to take some additional coverage. And as far as where I think people are covered, pretty comfortably through the first quarter of this year, some getting deeply into the second quarter as well, that have taken a little bit of coverage on dip opportunities thus far this year. So I would anticipate that with the futures market trading as low as it is right now, that you're going to see that expand it and see more people get a little further out in the future at these levels. Palm oil. Palm oil is very interesting. It's kind of a good news, bad news scenario. And the good news is you've got a better supply situation at origin. So, you know, roughly 90% of all the palm oil production takes place in two places, Malaysia and Indonesia. And adverse weather a few seasons ago started a downward spiral for production. Now, we've since recovered from that. Weather's been ideal for the last 6 months or so. And accordingly, we've seen a sharp increase to not only production, but stocks of palm oil. For instance, Malaysian stocks of palm oil were a little over 2.7 million metric tons in December. That's up about 64% from that point in 2016. And that good news also applies to the Lorex in general with PKO and coconut oil and better production for tropical oils as a whole. And you've seen prices respond to that coming down a bit. So that's the good news. Okay. The bad news has to do with the U.S. market. And you know, there's those situations that we label a perfect storm. Well, we've kind of seen that in the last 6 months, both literally and figuratively. So let's talk about a few of these factors. So first of all, you got the weather. Now, if you think about where most of the tropical oil refineries are in the U.S., they're all along, for the most part anyway, along the coast, with a few in the Midwest that rely on supply coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. And if you look at what's happened with the weather in the last 6 months or so, you had Harvey come in Texas and also impacting New Orleans, which hindered movement of oil coming up the river there. You had Irma come through and be a pretty powerful storm, even by the time it got to Georgia and saw some impact there. And now you look at the last month and a half of the weather for the eastern seaboard and especially the southeast. And we've just been getting hammered with cold weather, ice storms, snowstorms, all these things that us folks in the South don't typically deal with. So that has certainly played a role in terms of capacity because, you know, not to say that these facilities don't have the ability to heat oil because they do. But when you think about it, your reliance on municipal services and areas that don't typically deal with weather that cold and that prolonged, then you can have issues like water main breaks and things that can hinder production at these refineries for a period of time. So you got all that going on. Then on top of that, you're seeing this dramatic pickup in demand for inter-esterified oils. So we'll call those IE to make them simple for everybody. This basically comes as a result of the move away from partially hydrogenated oils. And as such, more of that capacity at a lot of these facilities is being directed towards that product. So that just tightens it up for everything. And then you add to that changes in the industry. You've got a major facility that stopped producing palm oil. That has a ripple effect across the industry. You've got some changes in ownership. And on top of all of this, an expectation of palm oil demand continuing to grow in the U.S., and you get a picture of some longer term, or at least the possibility of some recurring periods of tightness in the U.S. market. You know, when it's all said and done, at least with the projections today, domestic palm oil demand is expected to grow by about 6% in 2017-18, without anything in the way of additional capacity.
So have we seen prices for palm oil increase pretty substantially, or what do you think
users you know, the out there impact should be thus doing? Far hasn't so much been on pricing as much as it is just availability. So what I would recommend to users is not only to keep an eye on where prices are, because there are some favorable opportunities out there today to look a little further into the future in terms of coverage. The big piece of advice I would have for users is make sure you have your orders in. And I would get those orders placed not only through the next couple of weeks, I might even have those in place through the middle of February, just so your supplier can plan for you. And accordingly, you have oil allotted for your needs.
Forecast.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much, Nicole. Great recap as always. And certainly anybody out there that has any additional questions, you're the person to go to in our company. So reach out to Nicole. Let's shift over to honey. Craig.
Hey, Mike. I think my microphone was turned off there for a minute. I'm sorry, Nicole. Wonderful.
I've never seen you so quiet.
Oh, you know, when they tell me to be quiet, you be quiet.
What's going on in Honey? It's a topic we haven't brought up too much in the past, but I think there's some stuff happening that we want to go over.
Yeah, you know, look, at the end of the day, the honey market's kind of one of those under the radar, except that now people are starting to look at alternatives for their nutritive sweeteners. And
yep,
it seems that this area becomes more of interest when you see sugar prices start to rise. And right now, you know, you're in the winter months for a lot of the areas. So beekeepers have been winterizing their bees,
yep,
which means basically they're feeding them corn syrups and sucrose to, mm-hmm, to extract the honey and not have the bees eat on it. And they're all waiting to move their bees to California for the almond pollination.
Ah, yeah, big time coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And from what we understand, we're going to be looking at hopefully another record almond crop, which means beekeepers will have a lot of trees to pollinate
with their bees.
And get some good honey production out of that. The reason for today's conversation about the honey market is just to kind of review origins outside the United States that we rely on for imports, as we are an importing country for honey, just as we are for sugar. And, you know, where do you find a lot of the honey that we bring in? Well, there's four origins that make up over 60%.
Okay.
The main ones is Argentina.
Okay.
Vietnam.
Okay.
India. And a little bit from our friends up north, eh? In Canada.
Ah.
Yeah, a lot of white honey comes from Canada.
Excellent.
So, yeah, that's the most coveted honeys that we see for a lot of the baking industry.
Great.
That or all the way at the other scale, which is amber. Most of the honey that we've seen to date through the, I guess it's the October-November period, was actually from India.
Wow.
Of all origins. And I'll recall about 15 years ago, McKinney-Flavel, we were actually involved with helping bring in Indian honey. And I had to go over there a few times, and it was an interesting way that they actually harvest honey as beekeepers or small beekeepers with one or two bee boxes. Bottom line is that the Indians have actually become a more reliant importer for the United States market. Current prices for light amber coming out of India is around 89 cents a pound for raw honey. Now, this would be unpasteurized, unfiltered honey coming in 55-gallon drums to the honey packers and dealers. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at similar, say, out of Vietnam, you're probably looking at about a 5 to 7 cent discount to that price.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we brought in about 29 million pounds of Vietnamese honey during the 2017 calendar year. And I would say as you get to the lighter grades from amber on up to ELA and white, you're seeing about a 10 to 15 cent a pound premium. So if you want to call the extra light amber market somewhere between 95 and $1 a pound, you're probably looking at the right amount of pricing for unpasteurized, unfiltered honey. And as you get into white honey, specifically out of Argentina, clover is a good source of white honey, you're talking about $1.30 to $1.40
okay,
a pound. So you see that there's some premiums,
yeah,
as you took about different origins. Mexico also is a good importer or exporter, I guess, to our market. And I would say that currently what we are seeing is customers are asking for and seeing some competition on the refined honey market that's now putting processors in a little bit of a bind.
Okay.
So be aware that refined honey prices are getting pretty aggressively priced for 2018 as people are looking to book. I would say that now is probably a good time to be considering extending coverage if you're in the honey business. I would be making sure that your packers and dealers are out there with good coverage because of the price difference in raw versus refined being narrow. You want to make sure they've got what you're looking for. So be sure to, if you have a specific quality of honey or a particular floral source that you need to have within your specification, it's time to do that now.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much,
yeah,
Craig.
Man.
And thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you for a great recap. A couple of things. We have our spring seminar coming up.
Yeah, we do.
Wednesday, April 25th, 2018. And shortly, you'll be able to sign up on our website at McKinney-Flavel.com. That's going to be hosted. It's our third year of doing the seminar. A lot of great things we're going to talk about, a lot of great speakers. And that's held at the La Meridian in Chicago, Oak Brook Center. So hopefully everybody can join us
there. Be there. You got to be there.
Be square and look forward to seeing you next month in the at the colloquium.
Getting to Orlando, man. Got your tickets?
I got mine.
All right. Yeah. Nicole, you ready to go? Oh, wait, you're not going to join us this
year. I've got another one to attend, but you guys can fairly represent me there, I'm sure.
We can. But as we always say, live with an attitude of gratitude, and everybody have a great weekend, and hopefully your NFL team wins this week. Yeah.
Have a great weekend, all right, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Take care. That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-fabel.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.